the holler and the moan like dogs in the night.
Welcome to the Nationals Review Podcast, the official podcast of thenationalsreview.com. My name is Colm, but I'm not here alone. No, no, no. I'm here with the heart and soul of the Nationals Review, and that is no other than Mr. Charles Flegel.
Colm, do you think because we're the only people involved, we can just call it official without
getting
any sort of... There's no paperwork that says it's official.
Well, I'm saying it's the official podcast of thenationalsreview.com, which it is.
I guess you're right.
There you go.
It's also the unofficial one.
Well, someone could do like a Nationals Review podcast, it would be the official one.
Right. Can I tell you, I got so excited the other day. I'm out at the beach. I'm off for a few days.
Okay.
Out at the beach, and I'm watching no Comcast, no DVR. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the Nats beat up on the Giants. And if you remember the other day, there was a game where they had two reviews that the Nats lost, both of them.
Right.
But they show the big board at San Francisco at AT&T Park, and it says the previous play is under Nationals Review. And I'm like, oh, my God, somebody just recapped that for me. So I ended up going into MLB.com the next day and, like, getting a screenshot of it. And
I needed the audio of that. That would be a great intro.
Now it's on my – I don't know if they actually
see. Oh, okay.
But the picture is now on my Twitter page behind the amazing logo that you designed.
I love it. I have to check it out right now. We're here. It's the week of – what was the beginning of the week? June 16th?
That's the week before.
That's next week.
We're recording on the evening of the 12th.
After
the Nats just took 3 out of 4 from San Francisco.
Oh, I see it now. That's a great cover photo.
It was that big
on the screen on the scoreboard? Holy cow.
Yeah,
head over to the Nationals Review, at Nationals Review on Twitter, and check out the new cover photo we're talking about.
I never thought I would. I always thought the cover photo idea was like, I don't care, it's lame.
And no, it's great.
I'm like, oh, I'm putting that
There's up. A reason for it. A very different show since last we talked. We were basically at a point where we were 3 games under, before we get in all that, are you drinking anything? Cause I am.
Oh yeah. I've got the Delaware beer in my hand. I've got a Dogfish Head 90 minute.
Wow. That's a great beer. I have been searching. Let me tell you, I've been going to beer store after beer store after beer store and saying, "Do you have the Flying Dog Old Bay Ale?"
So you've been looking for Mike's Hard Lemonade.
No. I've gone back to beer for a little bit, and everyone says no. They did one run; it sold out so fast, and we're all getting new ones in soon. So I've been going every time I've been out, pretty much every day, asking, "Do they have it? Do you have it? Do you have it?" Finally. On Monday night, I took my sister to CVS to get something, and we went, and I walked in, and I'm like, "Do you have any?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, we just got it in an hour ago. We got 10 cases in." I said, "I will buy an entire case."
So I
have an entire case of Old Bay Ale. It is amazing. I can't believe.
I tried it. Maybe 3 weeks ago, my brother got a six-pack, and he was like, "Hey, I got a six-pack. You want me to bring one over?" Because he was coming over for some other reason. And I was like, "Yes, bring one." And I was surprised at how, A, you barely taste the Old Bay, but you do taste it. And
correct.
It doesn't taste like you're drinking seasonings.
Which I was worried about.
It tastes like you're drinking a beer at a crab feast. Like
it does.
Eating crabs.
It tastes like you're drinking a light beer with crabs. And the weirdest thing is if you pour it out from the bottle, it is very light. The yellowish is almost similar to like a Miller Lite, which I thought it was going to have more of a browner look just by the taste. Yeah, it's very clear. But it's a 5.8% alcohol as well.
Ah, so it's no slouch.
So I have a whole case. Hopefully you'll be able to sample some more from me if you come over soon, because they're not going to last long.
I will be over.
But a huge success for them, I can't believe. Is that also another – is that a Maryland company as well?
That is a Maryland brewery. They're based out of Frederick.
We should go. Do they do tours? I would love to do that with you.
Yeah, they do tours.
Oh, my God. We should just plan that right now.
Maybe we should do a show from there.
We should. So that's what we're drinking, and we have a lot to talk about because the Nationals are amazing if you haven't been following.
Yeah, so let's before we jump into the Nats, we're trying to keep our schedule. We actually talked last week.
We did.
You skipped town, and
I did.
So we didn't get to, like, process the podcast, and we just said, screw it, let's start over this week because we don't want to give old information. But you have some exciting reason why where you went and what you did.
That's right. I was in Toronto my first time there. Although the Blue Jays were in Detroit, so I did not get to go to a game.
So can I just tell you I hate that stadium?
It looks like nothing from the outside, by the way. I was shocked when they said that's Skydome.
And
I
whatever was like, they what? Call it now, it's not even Skydome.
Yeah, it has some ridiculous name. It's
but I'm going to call it Skydome. Oh, it's the Rogers Center. Just like
Rogers Center, that's right. Because of the phone.
At the end of center because it's Canadian.
Right.
You go inside and you're like, it's that carpet look of the grass. Like, it doesn't even look like field turf. It looks like carpeting. But the concourses look so old. And it's just because it was either the last one or the second to last one built before Camden.
Right.
And they didn't know.
And then when it changed everything, right.
And so inside it just looks like a parking garage. It's awful.
I would love to see a documentary on how Camden changed baseball parks forever.
Let's do it. Let's make
we really a should.
On it. Yeah. We have plenty of time, right? Yeah. No, but you were in Toronto for some Hollywood film industry
stuff. Yes. So here, well, not film, but TV. All right. The biggest channel in Canada.
Silver screen.
Right. The biggest channel in Canada is CTV. So our Canadian listeners, if we have any, are very familiar with that. And what this event was is they have all the shows they're going to buy from America Television and put on their channel, come up there, and they do interviews and meet everyone. It's a big event, blah, blah, blah. So luckily, and I'll let everyone know that you can – this Thursdays this fall on CBS at 9:30 following the last season of Two and a Half Men will be a new show called The McCarthys, which my sister Kellen Coleman will be starring in, and I highly recommend.
Your sister
is
going to be one of the main characters. Kellen was in a few other shows.
Yes.
She played, if you're a fan of The Office, you may remember her as the wedding guest at Pam and Jim's wedding that was with Dwight.
Right. And kicked in the face, too, during the dance sequence thing. Yeah, but.
And she was also in a few other shows, if you're some pretty big shows, but a little less popular than The Office, right? She was in.
Well, Newsroom, pretty popular. And
Newsroom on HBO, right?
And The Mindy Project.
And The Mindy Project, yeah. And she was on. Wasn't she on that Men at Work show?
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that.
She's been on a few shows, and now's really a chance for her to be more of a main character. So that's really exciting.
So everyone support her and watch the shows. And I just actually saw the pilot. She actually I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Will I get in trouble? Let's just say I know a guy who saw it. How about that? And
nobody's listening anyway.
I'm not a sitcom guy, but after watching it, I was totally into it, and I thought it was pretty funny. So I'm pretty excited.
We'll definitely watch it, and everybody go out and watch The McCarthys this fall.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
She's a huge baseball fan, too, and always wants to go to Nats games when she's here.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Out and visit her, you're going to hit up the Dodgers, right?
Well, no, she sticks with her roots. She's a Nats fan.
She's a Nats fan.
Yeah.
But she's in L.A., so.
Right.
You can go watch the Dodgers games out there.
Yeah, it's true. It's Don Mattingly, so all the reasons. Yeah.
And then, so you like Toronto? Do you have fun up there?
You know what? I hope I'm not offending Toronto listeners, but I have to say, Toronto kind of a slower pace than I was expecting, I guess.
Interesting. It's a big city. I mean, it's a real city.
Yeah, it's definitely very similar in size, I would say, to a Philadelphia.
Right. It's not New York, but nothing is.
And no.
It's not home. I mean, D.C., I don't think people from outside of D.C. are super impressed with the way the city runs necessarily, but it's special to us. So, and we know the ins and outs of the city. So, it's different.
I have to say we walked at night from about, I would say, 8:30 to 9 o'clock in the downtown area to the place we were going to eat, and not many cars or people outside on Wednesday night.
That's not the only city like that. If you go down to Wall Street in New York, it's dead.
It is? Okay.
So it may just be...
We were in a financial area, I guess you're right. The CN Tower, pretty cool looking. Food was great. I was happy.
Look across Lake Ontario for Rochester or whatever is on the other side.
No, I didn't know you could do that.
I don't know.
Wikipedia did not inform me enough, I guess.
Apparently, if you go to the top of the CN Tower and the weather is just right.
You can see it? Wow.
You can see, I think, Rochester. But it might just be like you can see the lights of Rochester or something. I don't know if you could make out, like, you know, the Kodak building or whatever.
And I was going to go to the NHL Hall of Fame, but I did not.
Yeah, so I find it strange. I was there for business a couple times, and the NHL Hall of Fame is basically in the basement of Thunder Ice.
I heard it wasn't that great, so I skipped it.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, the Shangri-La, which I stayed at, was an unbelievable hotel.
Sounds like an amazing hotel. It was
unbelievable. And the Soho House, where I went out at night, was pretty awesome, too.
Very cool.
Yeah. So,
did you meet any big time celebs?
So many. I mean, Michael Emerson from Lost, George Wendt from Cheers.
George Wendt, I know. Norm.
Norm. The cast from Arrow, the cast from How to Get Away with Murder that's coming this fall. Beau Bridges.
I actually know some of the people you know.
Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch. Amazing.
Lauren Holly from Dumb and Dumber.
So, did you talk to Judd Hirsch about his time on Taxi?
No, I talked more about Dear John, actually.
Dear John, a great show.
It was unbelievable. It was almost like I was sitting in a room, and it was like, as I was turning my head, it was like changing the channels, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, there were so many celebrities you wouldn't need. It was so sort of surreal in a way.
Yeah.
And since my sister's on a big show and I'm hanging around all these people, they thought I was an actor too, so they all wanted to talk to me as well. Oh, and the one guy I'm good friends with that I enjoyed talking to is Matt McGorry from the Netflix show Orange is the New Black.
I've watched the first episode of that. Have you? That's it. So
all right. Well, the nice guard Bennett is the one that he plays.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Yeah, it actually kind of reminds me of the few times that the Nats have been kind enough to invite me to a blogger day.
Yes.
And I'm down on the field, and, like, Jason Worth just walks right next to you, and they kind of you have your press pass, so they kind of think you're actual press.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm really not. You should look at my blog. I'm really not press. But, you know, it's that kind of thing where there's just so many celebrities that it becomes less sort of, you know, there's not that, like, excitement, like, by celebrities. It feels normal, but it's still like, oh, my God, that's Ryan Zimmerman standing right there. And there's, like, that moments where you're like, yeah, this is totally normal. And then you're like, no, wait a minute, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, it was pretty unbelievable. I highly recommend it that you all should get a sibling and have them be on television and have that opportunity. Yeah. No, there's no way the chances of anyone having that experience, probably not. So,
well, that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
What you're doing is pretty unique.
Yeah.
Like, you just wouldn't, most people, there's no way they could do that. So
it was crazy. And let me just tell you all, if you are a huge celebrity person, I don't understand, because they're just like you and me. There's really no difference between any of them. They're all pretty nice. Most of them are nice. Some of them are not. But anyway,
no, that's cool.
Let's talk about why we're really here. Let's talk about the Nationals and how we are first place in the NL East at 35-30.
How amazing is that? So I've been tweeting this out. They're now 5 games over .500 after losing.
Gosh. And the best part, the stat I heard today, they have won the last 12 of their – or no, they've won the last 10 of their last 12.
It's amazing.
Is that not ridiculous?
Yeah, they were.
Except I think 10, they did. They lose today. They might have lost today, though. Yeah,
so 10 of the last 13. But
yeah,
still, they were. Their last 10 were 8-2.
And I got another stat for you. When they score 4 more runs, you know what their record is?
I'm guessing it's just 1 or 2 losses.
It is
stat before
25-2 is what their record is. Can you believe that?
So, I tweeted this out, but yesterday after they were 6 games over .500.
Mm-hmm.
They did that in late September last year when they were like 8-9 games.
That's right.
First place with only like 12 to go or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's the first time they were 6 games over .500 since 2012.
Wow.
They didn't, and they weren't. They're 5 games over .500 right now. they haven't been five games over 500 in, I mean, they did, like I said, they did it late September last year and they did it early April.
Mm-hmm.
But May, June, July, and August last year, they were never five games over 500.
Really?
It just goes to show. I mean, they're playing much better.
Now, do you think, though, that is also because Atlanta's not the same team, Miami was playing above its head, and then the Mets and Phillies are just god-awful?
Well, maybe that's why they're not a few games out, but their record is still better than it was this time last year. You know, they're playing better.
Right. No, they're definitely a better team this year. Now, do you attribute it more to the hitting side of it or the pitching side of it?
I think it's hard to ignore what the pitching has done the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I don't know the exact record, but everybody on Twitter was screaming about it. They basically went like 7 or 8 games or – no, I think they went 9 games without a starter issuing a walk. It went from a Zimmerman start – to like through another Zimmerman start to his next Zimmerman to the next Jordan Zimmerman start.
By the way, Jordan Zimmerman, can we talk about how that guy had obviously an incredible year last year, but he now looks like he is right back where he like ended last year, and he's, in my opinion, I think he's the best pitcher on our team.
Well, so first of all, his ERA in the last few weeks has gone from, it was basically like it was a
mid four, right?
Or it
four.
Was a four, and then it dropped down, and basically the end of May wasn't great, and then his last two starts he's just been amazing, and his ERA has dropped from three starts ago, I guess it was over four, and then two starts later, an eight inning and a nine inning. 2-0 earned run starts. Gosh. It's down to 3.17.
Wow.
But what's amazing about that is the fourth best ERA.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Strasburg is a 2.99. And remember how bad Strasburg's numbers looked at the beginning of the year. Roark is a 2.92.
Way above his. He's on my fantasy team, and I've loved him, but I cannot believe what that man is doing this year.
And Pfister's ERA is 2.68.
Can we talk about how Danny Heron was our pickup last year, and now we have Doug Pfister, who is unbelievable. He is lights out right now.
They're all amazing. Look, Strasburg has pitched. So on April 20th, his ERA was 5.33.
Wow. That's ridiculous to think that.
Since then, his ERA, he started here, let me see, his ERA since that April 20th start, he's pitched, I think, 8 games. So, 9 games, 60 innings pitched.
Wow.
He's won 5 and lost 2. The team is 6-3. His ERA is 1.94.
What, in that time?
April 20th.
Start. Wow.
Yeah. Opponents on bases, 288 against him in that time. In that time, he's also 60 and a third innings pitch. He struck out 66 and walked 9.
Wow. So that's one.
And in those 9 games, 9 starts, think about this. He's given up 13 extra base hits in 9 starts.
Wow. So – and then it's not even just the starters. Why don't you can even continue on to the bullpen now, right? I mean, look at Tyler Clippard.
Clippard and Storin are, you know,
unhittable.
Soriano.
Yeah. I mean, he's been getting it done.
He's been getting it done. He did blow one save in the last week and a half or so, but he has been getting it done. But Clippard and Storin are – Storin is incredible. I mean, so is Clippard. They're both.
But Clipper, we were worried about. Last time I talked, I think we were worried, like, is he going to get it together? Because wasn't he having trouble?
He had a couple of bad outings early.
Right. And now they can't hit him.
Yeah, he's unhittable. And I think it was they were saying that Mike Morse, if you remember the other night, Mike Morse was up with a couple guys on, and Clipper came in and struck him out. And Morse, they said that during the broadcast, that Morse was standing on first base taking grounders before the game, and he looked over at the first base dugout where the Nats were sitting, and he was like, I knew exactly what he was going to do, change up low, fastball high, and I still couldn't hit it. He was like,
he said that.
I watched him throw a million times. I watched the changeup come in low, and I couldn't hit it. And then I saw the fastball come in high, and it was too high for me to hit, and I still hit it. So or I still swung at it. So, you know, when you're predictable and you can still strike guys out, that's good.
Right. How about now all this is going on without one of our best pitchers, Gio. Like, Gio, isn't that even incredible?
Gio, who pitched four innings in the
Potomac?
Minors.
Potomac? Is that where he is?
At the P-Nats, innings pitch. He did throw 79 pitches, which is a lot of pitches for four innings.
But, right.
Gave up a run, struck out seven, walked, I think, three or four. But, you know, second rehab start. I have a feeling this will be the last time he's, you know, this is it. He's probably back next time around.
Right. Who's the odd man out of that? Is it going to be Rourke? Oh, Blake Treinen, that's right. I totally forgot about him. Who's also pitching incredible.
Yeah, I mean, today wasn't.
No, today, no.
In general, he looks like a serviceable guy for the team, whether he ends up in the, you know, maybe he's a bullpen guy with some spot starts. But, I mean, even today, he went five innings. I think he only gave up two earned runs. I know they lost, like.
Right.
9-1 or 7-1 or something like that, but it wasn't really Treinen. So they like him. They like his future.
Now, what does this tell us, though, about one of our favorites, Ross Detweiler? It seems like he now is like the odd man out.
I don't know what's going to happen with that guy.
Is he just going to be that guy that's just going to be like, okay, we're losing by 8 runs or we're winning by 8 runs, so just go in there and clean up innings? Or?
Well, the big problem with him is, if they could, I think they would just send him down and be like, go figure it out in the minors. But I think he's out of options. So if they send him down, somebody else will take him. So, you know, you want him to figure it out in the majors. You don't know if he's going to be able to do that. And it's like his trade value is low.
Right.
He's probably a starter on a lot of teams.
If he goes to... Who could he go? He'd go to San Diego right now and be a great pitcher there in that a pitcher's ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, he could probably be a starter on half the teams in the NL East. Not that they would want to trade to the NL East, but and so you feel like you could get value out of him, but not in the current situation. So it's just I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Right.
Not pretty.
Okay.
But. The offense has been pretty.
Yeah, why don't we talk about that? Now, first of all, let's talk. Since we last talked, Ryan Zimmerman was not on the team. He is now back. And we're seeing a different looking Ryan Zimmerman, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, they've been scoring runs, right? And not giving up runs, by the way.
True.
This month, they've only given up more than 4 runs twice. And they've only given up exactly 4 runs twice. So... Not even this month, the last, you know, 15 games or so, which is more than this month. So they're pitching well, but they're also scoring a lot of runs. I mean, if you go back, I just have the schedule here. Listen to this, starting Wednesday, May 28th.
Okay.
That's how many runs they scored.
Okay.
5, 9, 10, 0. And then Zimmerman comes back, and it's 7, 8, 4, 6, 3, 6, 9, 2, and 6.
Wow. So they're getting the job.
And one of the, and that two, they won 2-1. So, I mean, they're scoring a lot over the last couple of weeks. And it really started right before Zimmerman came
right.
back.
It was, what, like 2 or 3 games before?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, wait, did we talk? Oh, we did talk about this on the Missing Hidden Show.
The Missing Podcast.
That's right.
They scored 5 runs, then 2 runs, then 5, then 9 in the 4 games before he came back. And so that was like LaRoche was back, but Zimmerman wasn't back yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they look like the offense was starting to click. And a lot of that has to do with Span and Rendon. Since like Span over the last 30 games is hitting like, you know, over 300 with an on-base over 350 with power.
Right.
And Rendon, since the middle of May, or more like the end of May, if you go back the last 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have it right here. The last 13 games, not including today, batting 333, an on base of 424, slugging .608 and 4 home runs in 13 games. So he's hot again. So the first two guys in your lineup are hot.
Right.
And Wirth never really went away. He's not hitting with a ton of power, but he's always been getting on base.
What about Mr. Ian Desmond? He is like every. I mean, granted, he doesn't have a sexy average, right? And then, but yeah, you're right, streaky. Because if you look back, I'm looking at his game log right now. At that San Diego series, two games in a row, he lit it up. He had a home run in both games. Then we go to San Francisco that first game. He had five ribbies in that game with a triple, a double. I mean, and then he just goes 1-for-4, 1-for-4, 1-for-4. But he's hitting every game.
The average was so bad for a while that it sort of takes away from what he's doing.
Exactly.
I'm on Baseball Reference. If you go back 22 games, which is a good chunk of the season, it's right. About a third of the season so far.
Mm-hmm.
He's hitting .271 with a .354 on base and .612 slugging of the last the last 22 games. So that's 96 plate appearances. So basically, you go back 100 plate appearances, which is essentially 1/6 of a full season. He's hitting with over a .950 OPS. So
good
he's
God.
Clearly hot again. He's clearly hitting. He's just a really streaky hitter.
Yeah.
And even when he's hot, he's not going to be hitting .350 that often for a lot of stretches. But if he hits .275 and gets a few walks,
oh my God, that would be the ideal situation.
And that's what he's been doing for about a month.
How about Mr. coming back from injury and being like, I'm this first baseman of this team, Adam LaRoche. Good Lord.
Yeah. He's been great.
He is. I mean, it's hard for me to be like, okay, yeah, his contract's up, and we keep saying, oh, well, Zimmerman's going to play first because LaRoche's out of here. Why does he have to be out of here? The guy is so productive for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was actually this conversation on Twitter last night.
Really?
It's like, what do you do with
him? You can't get rid of him. The guy is so good.
Well, the other thing is, if you remember, so since his injury, he's come back. He's got a .939 OPS.
Oh.
Back with his injury.
Good Lord.
But... So the thing is, if you remember now, there's no type A and type B free agents. You either give somebody a qualifying offer or you don't.
Right.
And they have something like a $12 or $13 million option on him. Maybe it's $15. And the qualifying offer would be about the same. Mm-hmm. So whether they choose – so if they – let's say they decide not to exercise the option and they give him a qualifying offer and say, you know, if he leaves, we get a draft pick for him. Well, he could essentially take the qualifying offer, and it would be the same thing as if they had a mutual option.
Oh, okay.
In essence. I mean, in essence, his option for next year is about the same price as a qualifying
offer. Right, right. Well, that would be perfect.
Is if they don't take the option, obviously they don't want him to stay, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
The qualifying offer is the same thing. So it's like if they don't want him to stay, you usually feel like you have to do the qualifying offer so you get something in return, that draft pick. But – is that first-round pick going to scare a different team away?
Right.
Otherwise, if he has no qualifying offer, he's easily getting a two-year deal next year unless he completely tanks at the end of this year. And I don't think the Nats are going to give him a two-year deal.
No.
So I don't know what the Nats are going to do. I mean, the comment on Twitter, which was I didn't disagree with, was they basically – the smartest thing for the Nats to do in terms of him is to trade him now because they could get – real value for him right now.
Right. Huge value.
They're overblown in that position. Look, Wirth isn't even playing right field that well anymore. So it's like either Wirth or Zimmerman's going to be the first baseman next year, and Zimmerman will play, and the other guy will play left field at this point.
Right.
But it's like you can't trade him away now. They're in the middle of – they're in first place. They're in a pennant. You worry about next year. So there's no way they're going to trade him away, especially not with their injury history. But it was just sort of a thought exercise of, like, what should they be doing? And the smartest thing to do with him right now in terms of what they're going to have to deal with next year is to trade him, which I don't think they should or they will do.
Right.
So next year it's going to be an issue because they basically have a guy that can play first and that's it. And then they'll have Wirth and Zimmerman who – I guess we'll find out whether Zimmerman can play third. But have you been watching him throw the ball into left field?
Yes.
It's not pretty.
Something is really wrong with that man's shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, really wrong. So I think he has to play first base almost now.
He's going to be the first baseman. Yeah. Sure. And I think Werth is going to play left and Hall right. play right.
There you go.
I mean, the other option is you could trade like a Denard Span. Span's been playing great.
Well, is he also his deal over Span or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next year.
Well, they have guys like Michael Taylor in the minors that I think might be able to, but neither of they have two sort of high end prospects.
Yeah, but prospects don't really fit in this team right now, you know?
Right, not for this year.
Yeah. So okay.
Taylor's in Double A right now, and he's awesome in Double A. He's hitting like 320,
right?
I think, but he's only in Double A, and he's only 23. So, are you trusting him to be the starting center fielder next year?
I can't even trust a 22-year-old to play. Isn't that how Bryce is?
Yeah. But you know how much like Rizzo likes center field defense anyway, so it's not like you can go, oh, we'll just trade Span once Harper comes back and Harper can play center and Werth and right and Zimmerman and left. I can't imagine them doing that. I can't imagine them trading anybody away right now.
I can't either.
Because of the health issues that this team has had.
And let's go into the number one. And our biggest problem right now, I think, is catcher.
Yeah, Ramos is back on
the team. I mean, Lobatone, like, I'm saying this right now, the guy has filled in defensively, but he is not anywhere close. He's not even in the same conversation as a Ramos hitter.
No, I mean, you're lucky if Lobatone has an on-base over 300, and if he does, that's his only offensive asset.
So Ramos, what do we do?
Ramos, on the other hand, when he's right, he's got an on-base over 300, and he's slugging, you know, 450 when he's right. I mean, the last few weeks, that's sort of what he's doing. He had really bad numbers at the beginning of the year, but he's been recovering. And since, you know, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, going back to May 22nd, he's hitting 346, and he's slugging 500. So Ramos can hit. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they
– I don't know. It just seems like with him, it's just like a chronic injury thing now, where this guy's just going to be hurt and
snake bitten.
And then I don't know what you do. I mean, right now they're doing the Lobatone Leon show, and I just think if you do, like you were talking about, if we do have to make a trade, I think that's what you would have to trade for, because we don't have anyone in the system, right, that could come up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Ramos is he's going on the 15-day DL, and he claims it's a minor strain.
Right.
They're doing this more preventative. But it's one of those – it's similar to the LaRoche issue. The problem with Ramos is that he's so good.
Right.
And so you go, what am I going to trade for a starting catcher that I'm going to sit once Ramos comes back? Like, give up real value for that? Like, Ramos is that good when he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to give up on him, you almost want to give up 100% and just be like, we're done with him. He can't play enough, and go get a real catcher.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to do that, then it's like, am I really going to spend prospects on somebody that we hope doesn't play?
You're right. I don't know what you do there.
So it's difficult. I mean, I guess that's why Rizzo gets paid a lot of money. Although I don't know that his decisions would be any better or worse than ours. It's just kind of like, what do you do?
Yeah. I also want to talk about Danny Espinosa. Is, I think, playing him, hitting great again. He's one of those, like Desmond, that I think he's streaky too.
Yeah, I mean, I think they talked about his swing a lot. The thing about Espinosa is when he's on, he's a good player. He's never a spectacular hitter, but he's we've talked about this 100 times. He's the best fielder on the team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they can get him right, to be honest, if Desmond is somebody that is – Desmond has said time and time again that all he wants to do is play for Washington, and when his contract comes up, he wants to get a – whatever. Let's say Desmond turns around and goes, I'm really looking for a 7-year, $180 million deal because I've won 3 silver sluggers in a row and all this stuff, and the Nats are just like, we can't afford that.
You mean when he goes to the Yankees?
Yeah. I mean, Espinosa can hit enough to play shortstop, and he's a better defensive shortstop than Desmond. But as a bench player and as a second baseman, it's a little iffy, right?
Right.
And so, you know, he's hitting 300 over his last 10 or 12 games or whatever it is, and he's clearly back from that huge slump he was in May. You know, he hit well in April. He was awful in May, and June's been great for him. But, you know, you wonder – he's another guy that you wonder if his numbers look good enough, if they try and deal him. And maybe not this season, but maybe in the off season. He's somebody that – there are a lot of teams that would love to have Espinosa.
Oh, my gosh. Shortstop. Yeah.
Not as their starting second baseman, as their starting shortstop. He's the best defensive player on the Nats.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason he plays second base is because – you know, Desmond was established as the shortstop, and he's been such a great hitter that they clearly don't want to upset that apple cart kind of thing. But he's a starting shortstop on half the teams in the majors. That's not only that's how good he is defensively, but that's how bad half the team's hitters are.
Right.
So I'm just happy to see him hitting again because, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of him. Anything else on the offense or anything about – how about Zimmermann? I mean, just focus on him. What's your take?
The whole package is – it's he's not hitting great since he's come back. Like, I don't think his numbers are spectacular, but he has got a hit in, like, all but two or three of the games. So he's contributing. He's got some RBIs. He's contributing at opportune moments. But I think, you know, the way they've played since he's come back – it's a narrative, and who knows if it's got any basis in fact. But you look at that, and you go, that guy's the heart and soul of the team.
Right.
They just play so much better with him back.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not even the one that's making the lineup so much better, then maybe it has less to do with his numbers and more to do with the way the team feels when he's around. I don't know.
Right.
He looks great in left field, doesn't he, though?
Yeah, he does. He looks like he's comfortable.
Other than the throwing that we're talking about. But,
right.
I mean, he's made a couple of spectacular diving catches, and you know, not being an expert on fielding, I can never tell if the guy's making a diving catch because he made a bad break on the ball or because he made a great break and he got there at the last minute and it's truly a spectacular play. But either way, he's made some really good looking plays out there.
Right.
But you know, it's fun to watch him play.
It is. I mean, I think it brought a lot of excitement, too, around the area. Like, I heard a lot of people, like, talking about it, and a lot of people who know I'm a huge fan would be like, so what do you think about him playing left field? And I'm like, you know what? Anywhere to get him out there because – and then I'll say this every time I say third base is Rendon's, I think.
True. I agree. Now, this – when Harper comes back, I mean, I think that what's going to happen is Zimmerman is going to play as much third as he can. Is he going to be the full-time third baseman? I don't know. But, you know, I think as long as his arm allows him to do it, he's going to play third base because
they want
Span in center, especially when Span's hitting 350 over the last month or whatever. And, you know, Espinosa, while he's a nice player, like we said, his ceiling is never going to be a great hitter. And so I think Zimmermann ends up playing third a lot and Rendon plays second. And, you know, maybe twice a week he'll play left field and first base. But we'll see. Maybe he can't make that throw at all. And then they have a dilemma.
That's a giant dilemma. Now you wrote on here in the show notes that you want to talk about at AAA. Now, is there anything in AAA that can come up and help fill out during these injuries? Or
well, actually, so there's a couple of players that are doing really well in AAA.
All right.
The first one they actually talked about on the broadcast the other night is Steven Souza.
Yes, who remember we talked about him during spring training.
Spring training, yeah. He was with the team. He came up for a few seconds in April, too.
Mm-hmm.
But his numbers are incredible right now. He's just demolishing AAA. And he's a big guy, and he had some issues in the past, and he's a little bit older. He's 25, so he's not like a super young prospect. But he's like, you know, a 6'4 kind of guy, and he's hitting 368 in AAA with 7 home runs already.
Wow.
And he can play some of the corners, and he's a righty, so they might want to bring him up. The other guy we talked about actually wrote an article on him was Destin Hood.
Oh, yes.
So Hood is a name that we've heard a lot. He's sort of been on their prospect radar for quite a few years. And, you know, I think the way you might describe him is he's a little bit he's not, you know, he doesn't have any of the tools spectacularly of like a five-tool player, but he's got a little bit of everything. He's a super athlete. He was recruited to play and signed at Alabama for baseball and football.
Really?
So, you know, if you're football at Alabama, you must be a pretty good athlete.
Right, right.
He was a wide receiver in high school. So high school Alabama wide receiver slash ended up going to the Nats minor league organization. He doesn't have a ton of power, but and he doesn't have a ton of speed. Even for, you know, a guy you would think he was a wide receiver, he would have a ton of speed. He doesn't. But he's got just enough of everything. He's a corner guy that, you know, he's hitting 322 with a 503 slugging, 372 on base in AAA right now. Mm-hmm. Only has four home runs, only has three stolen bases, but he just provides a little bit of everything. And so he's another guy that I think sooner or later you're going to see him at some point this year. I think both him and Souza you will definitely see.
Interesting.
Now the other guy is in AAA, Taylor, not Taylor Jordan, but Taylor Hill.
Yeah, tell me about this. I recently saw something about him, and I had no idea anything about it. I'd never heard about him before.
Yeah, I didn't really know too much about him either, but you know, I wrote an article on the site about him, and he's been great this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, AAA. So, first of all, he's 25 also.
Wow. Yeah.
But he's,
so wait, he's a little older. Or no, this is about the time they come up, 24, 25.
He's a little bit older than some of the other prospects, but he came out of college. So he's it's only his fourth. It's only really his third real season in the minors because in 2011 he played in the New York Penn League, which is like rookie league, and it's guys that sign early get a few, you know, a month or so in.
Right.
But in 12 he played basically in A ball only, low A and or middle A, Hagerstown and high A, Potomac. And then last year he just flew up through the organization. He started on Potomac, he went to Harrisburg, and he went to Syracuse. And over the year he had a 2.95 ERA. And this year he's got a 1.92 ERA at Syracuse. He's 8-2 in 12 starts. He's an interesting guy. So he doesn't have a lot of strikeouts, but he doesn't walk anybody. So his strikeout to walk ratio this year is almost 6, which is you know, unheard of, and that won't happen in the minors, but or in the majors. But he's basically like an extreme ground ball pitcher that doesn't walk anybody. And so even though he doesn't have a ton of strikeouts, the fact that he doesn't walk anybody and he keeps it on the ground is, you know, it's been his success. You know who he reminds me of a guy that just came up and did that with the Nats?
Who?
Is Malone.
Oh.
Tommy Malone that they traded to
the
A's.
Yeah, that's like, right.
He's basically got like a league average ERA. I think his ERA plus is like exactly 100 or it's like 101 or 102. Like that might be the kind of guy that Hill is. Like he could go and come up and be a fourth or fifth starter with a league average ERA. If you get a league average ERA out of your fourth or fifth starter, you're happy.
Right.
Most teams don't have the luxury of having Doug Fister as their fourth starter. So
who... I love that guy. I saw him live. I think that was his start back, or was it a second? I think it was second start. And I was just like, wow. I was like blown away. And then he just he keeps getting better.
Well, the thing about him is like you expect him to be more boring than he is, right? Like, you know, he's a ground ball pitcher. You just don't expect, like, when he rears back and has like 6 strikeouts, you're like, oh wow, he can also do that,
right?
Like.
Right.
He's awesome. But, you know, Hill's the kind of guy that I think, you know, this team does not have a lot of room for pitchers. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, you know, with Gio back that they'll be healthy for the rest of the year. But you may see him in September. You may see him come in and pitch in a bullpen role a little bit. He's an interesting guy, whether they use him as a trade chip or something else. He's having a spectacular season, so I'm going to keep my eye on him for sure.
All right, and the final thing is, tell me about this, the Zimmer Mitt.
Oh, yeah. So that's like the new thing on Twitter. There's like hashtag Zimmer Mitt.
Right.
Whenever Zimmerman goes on base, you see him put this like weird thing on his hand.
Right.
Sliding. Well, actually, I remember.
What is it?
Before, and I'm like, where did I see that? And I'll send you the link. It was actually invented by Brett Gardner.
Get out.
The
Yankee guy?
Yeah. So what happened was he.
What?
There's an article in the Wall Street Journal. I will send it to you.
Okay.
He basically broke his hand, same thing, broke his thumb sliding. And, you know, Gardner's like a big-time base stealer.
Right, right.
And he was afraid it was going to happen again, and he always wants to, you know. I'm guessing Zimmerman, if somebody told him, like, you have to slide feet first, Zimmerman would be like, oh, okay, fine. Like, right. I'm not running that fast anyway. But for Gardner, who's, you know, getting picked, trying to get – people are trying to pick him off, and he's trying to steal bases, like, he really needs to use his hands.
Uh-huh.
So he basically went with, like, the Yankees training staff and, like, wrapped his hand up in, like, essentially a fiberglass cast. And he started using it, but he was like, it was heavy, and it was, he basically said it was like, it was too hard. It was like he had the club on his hand. So they went back to the drawing board, and he said it's a neoprene sleeve, and they cut it out, and they put it on, and they put something, some like rubber in it. And so he can basically like bend his hand now. It's not like a cast, but it's totally protected, and he's using this neoprene sleeve. So you know, I don't know if that's exactly what Zimmerman's using on. I don't know if that's the makeup of the Zimmer mitt per se, but it was actually a Brett Gardner invention, which I think is kind of a cool story. And now Zimmerman's hand is hopefully safe.
Really? So that's the Zimmer mitt. I'm surprised it doesn't have its own Twitter account yet.
It does.
Oh, okay. And you know what? And I can't even talk. And I was just afraid that the whole community was just slacking on that.
Yeah, you thought people were slacking, but nope. There's actually somebody retweeted something I wrote the other day, and it was like retweeted by Zimmermitt. So let me see. I think it's just at Zimmermitt with two T's.
Amazing.
If you want to follow the Zimmermitt, which I'm not, but I respect his you know, love of the Zimmermitt. Yep, it's at Zimmermitt. Just started.
So yeah, that's. Do we have anything else? Or that's pretty.
One other thing I do want to talk about is the Nats. Well, two things. First of all, the draft was last week.
Oh right, we talked about this before the show too, and I've totally forgot already.
Well, it wasn't written down in the notes, Cole.
That's right.
Fine, it's my fault.
Yeah, let's talk about this. So I of course, you and I, a lot of great guys have always come out of this draft, obviously.
No, they picked this guy. His last name is F-E-D-D-E. I assume it's pronounced Fetty, but I don't even know. He's a pitcher from college that just had Tommy John surgery. Oh, no, he's Bryce Harper's old teammate from high school. So it's like, first of all, it gives you some understanding of how incredibly young Bryce Harper still is.
I know.
That they just drafted a guy that was his high school teammate.
That's crazy. And Bryce Harper was drafted 4 years ago? 3 years ago? Four.
It seems like a long time ago.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. Wow. But he's out of UNLV. He went to high school in Las Vegas with Harper and their buddies. So Harper was excited. He wrote something about it. But the cool thing about it, or I don't know if it's cool, but the interesting thing about it is this guy just had Tommy John surgery, like right before the draft. So he fell further than he probably would have otherwise, and the Nats picked him up. And as a Nats fan, how can you not love that? Because, look, in the last 3 or 4 years – they've done that with every top draft pick. It's been Rendon, right? It's been Giolito, and it's been Matt Perk. Those three guys were all like top guys that got hurt and dropped down. Now Perk hasn't worked out, but Giolito is basically considered the best pitching prospect in the minors, and look how good Rendon is.
Right.
So if this is how the Nats want to go about the first round of the draft, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm all for it, too. So, great. So, we probably won't even see this kid for, like, 3 or 4 years, probably.
He's not even going to be pitching in the minors until this time next year.
Wow. Man. Awesome. And that was it. We only had one pick in that draft?
No. We had a million other picks.
Don't hear about those. They're, like, 12 and 14.
We might find out a few you know, a year or two down the road that some of them have worked out to be interesting minor leaguers. And look, there are plenty of second round and third round guys that go. I wrote something on the website in the past week or two about the 2007 draft and how if they had redone it. So basically, what I said was the Nats had three picks in the first round and a half. It was really like they used to do the sandwich round or whatever they called it. Mm-hmm. But it was round one and round 1A, and the Nats had three picks. And they picked Detweiler first, and then two guys that are not on the team anymore. Josh Smoker, who's out of baseball, and Michael Burgess, who's – I think he's on the Orioles minor league system now, but he doesn't really look like a prospect anymore. So
right.
I just – you know, I won't go through every bit of it, but I ran through who they could have gotten instead of those guys right afterwards. Like, they could have taken Bumgarner, who went 10 instead of Detweiler, who went 6.
Right.
You know, they could have taken Josh Donaldson or Todd Frazier, one of those guys, instead of Smoker at 31.
Right.
And then I went through Burgess, and I was like, well, the rest of the first round is pretty slim after that point. But if you go past Burgess, the next amazing guy was actually Jordan Zimmermann, who was a second-round pick. But then – in the second round that year, it was Giancarlo Stanton, Freddie Freeman, and Zach Cozart.
Right.
So,
wow.
You know, don't poo-poo the second round.
It's true. That is true.
Pretty good too, and even the third round. And you know, you get your odd players that show up later that end up doing well. But, I don't know if there's anybody that people went, ooh, that's a good pick after that first round. But I did that with the first round to get a guy like that. It just gets me excited that the Nats got another injured guy because I assume he's going to be great because he's hurt.
Right.
That's how the Nats roll.
Right. That's how we roll, son. All right. Well,
so, Colm, before we go, mm-hmm. next podcast will be after the 21st, when you and I...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going.
And I are going to Nats Park to the Baseball Prospectus event.
I can't wait. And it said, I was reading on there, it's a night game, which I was surprised first on a Saturday. I thought it was going to be like an afternoon. So then it said we could get there like an hour and a half before.
Yeah, it might even be earlier. And we get to like do stuff and go behind the scenes and meet the Baseball wow. Prospectus people. And then I think our seats are in a group with the Baseball Prospectus.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Wow, it's so crazy. It feels like so long ago when we got the tickets, and that was now it's like here.
I think it was like March when we got the
yeah,
tickets.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It feels like a long time.
It's already 2015. Anyway, I'm super excited to go. Hopefully we'll get incredible weather. Actually, maybe that is a good thing. It is at night. What am I saying? In mid-June.
It could be
could be a blessing. We will definitely be drinking, and I will bring the recorder so we can do a little bit of that again.
Yeah, maybe we'll see if some of those guys want to jump on the podcast with
right.
us, although I wouldn't know what to ask them.
But as always, you can always go to the nationalsreview.com for all the stories there and to listen to the podcast either on the site or subscribe. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search the Nationals Review. Leave us a review if you feel so inclined. You can follow me on Twitter at Culmination.
You can follow me at Nationals Review.
And is that it? Yeah.
I think that's it.
All right, that's it. All right, everyone. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you at the park.
See you at the park. Mama knew my mind.